Welcome to SOLIDWORKS Heard, a show about tools, tips, and technology surrounding SOLIDWORKS engineering and the web. This is episode 428 for January 27, 2013. SOLIDWORKS World 2013 in review. Well, welcome to SOLIDWORKS Heard. Now, this show is pretty much representative of kind of the reasoning behind starting the show is, you know, talking about things like these big breaking news events that happen. Now, SOLIDWORKS World is obviously only once a year, and there's always a good, you know, conglomeration of news, whether it's product announcements or cool speakers or a neat session that you go to that you picked up some good tips and tricks. But overall, I have to say that the user community and the SOLIDWORKS community around the breakout sessions was some of the best I've ever seen. Now, that's hard to say because the measurement is very much subjective, but I have to say that the breakout sessions, people just went all out. And I think the, you know, everyone that got the ability to present this year at SOLIDWORKS World, that's obviously a very, you know, big honor in the SOLIDWORKS community. But there are so many great speakers. There are so many awesome users that share some of the best tips and tricks and kind of approaches with the software. Because, you know, in the end, SOLIDWORKS, again, is a tool. And seeing how people practically use this thing to solve problems is the fun part of going to the sessions. Now, every year they have, you know, kind of a general overview of kind of the year in review. Obviously, we have everything in the general sessions from sponsors talking to unique speakers to, you know, product announcements. So what I wanted to do today is just kind of give a summary for those of you that haven't been paying attention over the last week or so. And one thing that is definitely interesting is this was my 12th SOLIDWORKS World. And in attending SOLIDWORKS World for so long, my first one was in 2002. So much has changed in the way that obviously the internet has played a part. And I've talked on this before on the show, but you know, in 2002, I was probably one of few that had a smartphone. I was actually running a Windows mobile phone at the time, and I was able to get internet. At this time also, most people were not using laptops to show SOLIDWORKS because there wasn't a lot of power in them. And so you didn't really have a mobile computer with you. I remember frantically scratching stuff down on a piece of paper during the general session to capture what was coming, only for my own you know, information. So a lot has changed. There's so many people in the audience that are connected. There's so many people in the audience that have a tablet or a computer or anything. So kind of looking back on the 12 years of how technology has played a part in just sharing the experience of SOLIDWORKS World is definitely a big difference than it used to be. But with that being said, I wanted to just kind of cover some of the things as the highlights of the general sessions and breakouts and stuff like that that I experienced and just talk on kind of the general vibe of this year's SOLIDWORKS World. So let's take a look at SOLIDWORKS World 2013. All right, so we'll start with the general sessions. And again, if you want to see kind of the play-by-play of everything that happened, there's a couple of good places to go. I obviously, all the live blogs that I did, you can actually replay and check them out. So if you go to solidworksheard.com/live-coverage, you'll actually see day 1, 2, and 3. And it, you just hover over the little cover it live area, and you can click replay and scroll through it and see all the comments. I did have a few other people in there just tweeting and pulling their tweets in, so you can kind of get a good feeling of what was happening in the room. Now, day 1 general session is usually kind of the welcome. They talk a little bit about how things were. And SOLIDWORKS had a pretty good year. Obviously, SOLIDWORKS had a pretty big year as far as announcements. Just some of the things that they talked about numbers-wise is they had SOLIDWORKS users about 2 million now. So they actually talked about something like 1.3 or 1.4 million EDU, and then the rest were commercial seats. There's 407 resellers. There's 800 solution partners. There's 61,000 certified SOLIDWORKS users. There are 218 SOLIDWORKS user groups, 530,000-plus fans on Facebook, 1 million registered 3D content central users, and 1.3 million draft site users. So some big things there. And you know, Bertrand Seco got up on stage and talked a little bit about a few things that they were talking about with the new My SOLIDWORKS. My.SOLIDWORKS.com is going to be a new SOLIDWORKS service. It's essentially a redone experience for the customer center. So if you've ever logged into the customer center, this is essentially a place that you can pull in information and kind of see what's going on. You can subscribe. I think they're using their NetVibes functionality and a few other things. But you can check it out if you just go to my.solidworks.com and log in with your customer account. You should be able to get in there. Now, a few other things that were announced, they did some kind of milestones as far as it. The 2012 achievements for SolidWorks World was the 21st release. I thought it was 21st, but 20th release, so 2013 SolidWorks, backwards compatibility, which was essentially the interoperability. It wasn't backwards compatibility. 94% customer satisfaction, 5 points up from 2007. They also talked on the fact that they had launched a couple of new products, SolidWorks Plastics, SolidWorks Electrical, and also e-drawings for the iPad and iPhone. They also made special note, and we actually saw it on day three, was that e-drawings for Android is being worked on and will be available soon. We did see a working copy of it. The NVIDIA guy on day three did hold up a Nexus 7, the exact tablet I have, and showed eDrawings running on it. So they heard, and hopefully they respond soon, because I know a lot of us are itching to have it on our Android devices. A couple other things that they talked about on this day as well was the fact that they did have a bunch of focus on partners this year. It was a little bit of an issue, I think, personally. I know a lot of people asked about it, but a couple of the days that we had partners that spoke, they didn't just come up and say, you know, a one-minute speech. They actually gave a pretty big, almost corporate presentation. It was kind of mind-numbing. We probably had about an hour of time over the couple of days where we just were sold to, you know, captive audience. I understand the partners pay a lot of money to be represented. But if I look at things on the grand scheme of things, I don't think anyone in that room is going to buy their products more so than just flashing up a sponsor. So I get it, but at the same time, it was a different move. Dassault obviously had a lot more time on stage this year. It is becoming kind of a growing trend. The compass, which is the kind of Dassault logo with the little play button. That function was everywhere. It was on every slide. It was on. There was a lot of talk from Bernard Charlet about Dassault and their marketing and focus and everything like that. So it was definitely very heavy on the Dassault side, which is a shift. We're seeing a lot of shifting over the last few years since 2010 of a lot more integration between the two companies. Now, I would say the biggest thing that came out of day one was mechanical conceptual. Now, as I said in the last show, there was a little introduction to it because it really was, I think, the highlight of day one is this that basically I think they finally uncovered what they wanted to do. Back in 2010, they announced the whole SolidWorks V6, which again is more of a press name. You know, it wasn't actually an official name. It was never referred to as SolidWorks V6, but that CAD on the cloud kind of movement that was talked about in 2010 and was kind of basically hidden and not talked about for the last few years, I think this is their move for it. SolidWorks Mechanical Conceptual, which again, the name is horrendous, but the premise is that it runs on Dassault's 3D Experience platform, which is essentially their hosted platform. They talked about the fact that it was going to be a database-backed, fully connected type of solution. It looks like there's a lightweight framework that installs in the client. I spent a lot of time kind of going through the video because it's very hard when you're taking notes to really kind of see what's going on and look at all the background, what's happenings. But they did talk about it. And if you want to hear more about kind of my first thoughts, you can listen to the last show on 427. But they did announce that. Fielder went through it. They did not show any live product. So this was basically a pre-recorded kind of presentation with a video, and it was kind of in the backdrop as Fielder was kind of narrating it. So we got the feeling of it, but the premise is that this is not going to be SolidWorks on the cloud. This is essentially going to be something focused on basically parts and assembly. So the conceptual stage where you sketch out, do mechanisms, do virtual testing, be able to collaborate and share and chat and screen share, but really be able to quickly model either history-based, parametric, direct, anything that you really want to. It was pretty expansive. The feature set looked very, very powerful. But again, it's hard to say in just watching a video. They can make anything look great. I don't think, like I said, I'm not insinuating that they doctored anything up or anything like that. I do believe that the product exists, and I'm pretty sure what they showed is what is there. But it's hard as someone who needs to dig in to really kind of evaluate if it's a home run or not. But it does look like a good product. It is very much being pitched as a complementary tool. It is something that it looks like it's going to have downstream and upstream capability to talk to SolidWorks on the desktop. So at some point, you can actually pull down your concept and then fully define it, lock it down, make drawings, whatever other things that you need to do in SolidWorks, and then move forward in that. But the statistics about the concept phase was very interesting. They talked a lot about how much is happening in the conceptual phase, what percentage is happening in the conceptual phase. And from there, it just makes a lot of sense. And I think that was something that they were after. But it was very interesting. And I think really, if you go up there and kind of watch it, it's a pretty big deal. It said that some of the features they announced was screen sharing, live chat, kind of baked in PDM, so you never have to worry about version management or anything like that. You can push it back to SolidWorks. They did show a mobile client. There was a lot of interesting things, but their kind of highlight was that it's instinctive, so it starts to learn. And one of the examples they show is if they mate something, it actually understands that part mates a certain way, almost like Snap the Fit. Also connected, and that it has a collaborative angle to it. It really made a lot of sense when they kind of showed the information and what it was. But I think the big piece of it here is that they do have a path that they've somewhat painted now, and we'll see if they delivered. They talked about a May time frame for customers to get in and test it, and then opening it up in the October November time frame. So hopefully this is going to be a little bit different than previous announcements, because I've heard a lot of products that were supposed to come out in Q4 that never made it. So we'll see what happens. But so far, I think a lot of people are excited to see what they do. The other thing that happened on day one is they talked to the engineering group behind the Felix Baumgartner supersonic freefall. And that was a very interesting group. Hearing some of the challenges they ran into and how they actually came up with an idea and how they worked with Felix and how something that they thought was going to be a 6-month project turned into 5 years and 15,000 hours. It was a very cool discussion about what was to be seen. And I think overall, day one was pretty good. It was an interesting grouping, obviously, of product announcements and some interesting speakers. So if you want to see all the details, you can definitely check it out on the day one session of the live blog. Now, day two's general session talked a little bit about the beta awards. They also gave away a couple of the distinguished awards. There was one for Michelle Pilaire, and I think that was actually won by a good friend of ours, Solid Muse, if you've ever followed her on Twitter. But Anna Wood, she's down here in Arizona, and won the Michelle Pilaire's award. And there was also another award for our good friend Wayne Tiffany, who did pass away this year, and his two sons were on stage. And it was tough because, it was interesting to see how touched the community was. Both the sons, as I don't know how they did it, to speak in front of such a big audience and hold their composure and talk about their dad and how much the SolidWorks community's response to his death and sharing all the wonderful stories, how that helped them. And it was just very, it was very humbling to see. Just to watch it. It was tough. You could tell there's a lot of people in the audience, a lot of people that I knew, and obviously even Richard Doyle on stage, just trying to kind of hold back the tears because it was a very touching moment. It was very brave of them to come and share their story of how much their dad loved this community and how much it meant to him and how much they gave back when he did pass. So it was very, very cool. But there's now they did bring up another sponsor right after that. So it was a little bit weird that there was a sponsor before Wayne Tiffany's son speaking, and then a sponsor after, and it was kind of sandwiched in there. It was really, I think it was important for them to speak, and I really think that kind of sandwiching them between some sessions that Jeff Marisola actually had mentioned that it was a little bit odd, and I know that it probably wasn't intentional, but it just seemed a little bit. And it didn't flow as well with that. But once the next sponsor spoke, they did talk about the certification program, which they often do. They did announce another certification, the CSWPDRWT, which is ridiculous, but it's the Advanced Drawing Tool Specialist. And for the most part, they just kind of talked a little bit about certification and, you know, the importance of it and things like that. There's a lot of people that are getting certified, and they were just kind of, you know, promoting that fact. But it was pretty interesting. Fielder came back on stage and he pretty much did most of the emceeing of day two. They did bring on a very interesting speaker, Vijay Kumar, who does this quadcopter and intelligence. It was kind of like what we saw in 2010 with swarms, the robot swarms, where they can kind of communicate with one another and determine paths of being able to execute different tasks. But unlike the swarms that they talked about in 2010, which were, you know, they were wheel-driven that you know, went on the ground, these were quadcopters. So they actually float and can move in virtual space. So much more complex, talked about kind of their trial and error of how they did a lot of their research, how they had a lot of their stuff done in a room and all these complex patterns and things. I did share some videos in the live blog that you can check out, but it was a very interesting session. They did talk about the whole fact that most of their research was done in a room with a lot of things in the infrastructure. So in the room itself, it had a lot of cameras and things to measure where things were, and that was communicating back to the bots. And what they did is they put an Xbox Kinect sensor on the head of it. So you take the infrastructure out of it, you put all the onboard sensory, and then they were using these for things like they were trying to determine how to go into earthquake structures and things that were unsafe, and being able to use the sensor to paint a picture of what's available, where it can go and where a structure is, and be able to navigate and find people. And that could all be seen on a monitor outside by a controller, a person. So it was very interesting. They're making decisions, and it was very cool. But some of the control and preciseness of these quadcopter robots, it was very awesome. So if you want to see some videos on that, you could actually just look on YouTube for Vijay Kumar. But it was a very, very cool speech. And I like the ones with research people because they really kind of show you how people are pushing the limits. So it was a very good, it was quite lengthy, but it was a very good presentation showing all the interesting ways that these things are working. Now, they finished off with some of the robotic engineers that were talking about biomimicry. And it was a very, very cool session. It was actually on stage was Festo. And I used to actually use this company quite a bit. They make a lot of pneumatics and robotics. And he came on stage and was talking about, you know, some of the things they do in biomimicry. And if you've never heard of that, that's essentially paying attention to nature. See how nature solves physics problems. You know, how birds or dolphins are, you know, very aerodynamic, or maybe the way that certain things are solved from a mechanism standpoint in nature and applying those to design. And Festo, I guess, has a research and development group that very much focuses on this, and they're trying to develop and change the way you kind of conceptualize control. And one of the things that they developed was a lot of things that were, again, robotics based, and the big highlight was this smart bird. And it's essentially, it looks like a seagull, and it's completely a learning seagull. And they have some controls, and I know there was a guy on stage with a big radio controller, but this bird doesn't fly with propellers, and it doesn't fly with any type of quadcopter type of feel. It flies like a bird. And so it has a mechanism inside, and they showed, you know, some close-ups of the mechanism that actually makes the wings flap. And based on certain things, that they can make this thing flap like a bird and fly. And it actually controls its flight based on the way that the head moves and the tail moves. And it was awesome to watch. But they talked about it. They talked about, you know, how they came up with the idea. And then all of a sudden, the guy comes on stage with it. And he launches it over the entire auditorium. And this thing is flying around the room and they're playing, you know, I think it's the Eagles, they Fly Like an Eagle. And it's doing circles above the audience. And people are just enamored. They're in awe of this thing floating over the over everybody's head. And it was awesome to see. But it does a couple of laps around the audience. And then it comes up to the stage. And it like does this like, you know, dive where it just kind of fans itself out. And it kind of just lands right in the guy's hands on stage. And in the 12 years that I've been at SolidWorks World, it's the first time I've actually seen a standing ovation. I don't recall if any of the big headliner speakers had ever gotten people to stand up and clap, but this was the first time that this thing happened. They landed and the entire audience was on their feet clapping and whistling and obviously a room full of engineers, but it was amazing to see. You know, you've probably seen remote control flying stuff before, but when you watch something that's been designed to learn and actually represents nature and fly so effortlessly across the stage, it was awesome to see, and it was really a neat experience overall. So day two was a very cool day to be at SolidWorks World. Now, day three is always notorious for the next release of SolidWorks reveal. They always do a couple of things. They typically talk about Model Mania and who won, so they did that. They also talk about the top 10 list, which we talked about on the show before. The top 10 list was basically create auxiliary lines for dimensions on dim angles, draw line segment at the midpoint, external thread wizard for all thread types, default the conic mate, option for equal spacing on linear patterns, provide e-drawings for Android, cylindrical mates option on lock rotation to lock rotation, slot mate, save SolidWorks in previous versions like full backwards compatibility, and faster rebuild time. So those are the top 10 requests. But everyone is waiting because really you know that ultimately they're going to get into what's new for 2014. And this year, just like for the last, gosh, it's probably been 6 years now that they've been doing these themes. They do these little skits where they show, and they did a funny skit. They had three different kind of segments of the skit, and they were just wacky products. And the first one was called the Solid Grill, which is essentially, it was kind of funny because if you think about it, we just had all these hardware sponsors talking about how efficient their hardware is. And they're basically doing, they've taken an old laptop, and they're throwing hamburgers on the keyboard. So it's because they're so hot, it's called the Solid Grill. And they had all these like wacky design challenges and essentially use it as a platform to talk about the new features in 2014. So they had the Solid Grill. They also had a bike that had a laptop mounted on the handlebars. Again, another funny skit to where they can get stuff done all the time. And then there was another one, which was like a tool belt where it basically had a laptop that had like suspenders and they could do anything they wanted while they were working. So it was three weird products, but the goal was to get a good layout. Now, reading through my notes of what was announced, it was really hard because I was just hammering down as fast as I could go. But what they did do is that I went over to Ricky Jordan, and Ricky Jordan always does a real good summary. He's always there as press, so he gets these real clear, crisp pictures. But there was a number of things that they talked about, and I'm just on Ricky's site now looking at it. So they talked about the ability to replace model view model, so basically a reference within a drawing. You could just swap it out. They had a theme that I started to notice is they had a lot of things where you could swap out models or swap out functions and reattach all the kind of, you know, periphery that was on it. So like, you know, when you're replacing a part and mates and things like that. So the replace view model was interesting because you could take all the same views and just replace the model and update. But everything like dimensions and annotations and stuff like that were all preserved. There was also existing view icons. So when you access anything in the view palette, in drawings, it'll display basically an indicator to tell you which view you've already added. So again, a kind of a nice little thing to make it a little cleaner. They talked about display style context menu. So again, when you're in drawing views, there's a nice little drop down that allow you to select the type of view. So if you want hidden lines removed or shaded with edges, there's also the high quality shaded views. And this is something that would basically not show any like bleed through edges or anything like that. And they also showed angular running dimensions. This is very cool. It's almost like angular ordinate dimensions, right? Where it was an ordinate style, where if you had a circular part, now you could just click on features and it would automatically index the dimensions. Very quick. Again, same benefits as doing ordinate dimensions on a more linear part. And they also allowed you to do split table by row count. So that was kind of nice, very simple way to be able to split a table. And especially if you get a table to fit on a sheet, you give it the split row number, and then as parts are added, it'll automatically split the table for you, so you don't have to do it, you know, a number of times. So there were some pretty cool things there. They also talked about order independency and transparency. So instead of it being transparent or not, you could actually have an order dependency. So when you look at something, maybe the part that's in the most foreground would be a lot less or a lot more transparent than the part behind it. So it really gave some very interesting views when you were looking at parts. You also can harness the ability to network render animations. So again, this is kind of a piggyback on the network rendering capability in 2013. CircuitWorks thermal properties can now be brought over. So again, more bidirectionality with ECAD. And they also talked about linking to SOLIDWORKS flow simulation. So anything in the thermal properties, you could also be able to do this in CircuitWorks to run simulations from flow sim. So that's kind of cool as well. Again, more integration or seamlessness between products. And then, again, the other one was called the Solid Workout, which was the bike with the laptop built into it. And so some of the things that they revealed in that was slots in the hole wizard. They also talked about part length dimensions, so our path length dimensions. This is like if you were designing something like a chain, you could actually drive the length without having to use the path mates. It was kind of an interesting function, but you know, you can actually have it to where, let's say you have chain links, you could link it to that path dimension and then be able to calculate how many links you want in the chain. Very, very cool function. They also talked about fixed length spline. So you actually have a fixed option now where you can now drag things around and it'll change the shape based on the length. It also has different, it's called a style spline. And this was kind of a hard thing to explain. I tried to explain it in the live blog, but essentially it gives you everywhere you pick with your mouse. And there's basically like a linear dotted line or construction sketch where you've picked to draw the actual the spline. And then that can then further be defined with, any type of relationships or dimensions or anything to drive the spline further. So they're giving you more control functions or control points to really flow the spline any way you want. They talked about replace sketch entities. So again, this looks like a pretty big enhancement, being able to go through and replace entities any way you want. Again, it just automatically, reassociates any references or anything like that. And then SolidWorks electrical harness. So this was another interesting one, but basically it allows you to pull that information right off of a schematic. I think this is more of a tie-in to SolidWorks Electrical, but I'm not really sure how this is actually like a parallel, but it looks like it is separate from routing, but part of SolidWorks Electrical. So it's kind of an interesting thing. I'm kind of wondering what those two products are going to do in the near future. They also have reuse existing harness, again, kind of paralleling on that reuse function, clips in flat pattern representations, so you can actually show that what is actually in routing. So it's, again, more merging of these two products, and then color connected pins. So again, it gives you some functions there. They talked about bolt mapping. So again, SolidWorks simulation can detect fasteners within a model and then automatically create that. This is actually a pretty nice function, especially since, fasteners are a big part of design. They also talked about results symmetry. So if you have a model that you've done a simulation on, you can actually go in there and just mimic it to the other side so your plots actually show everything. And they also talked about residual stresses from plastics. So again, that's some information that you can actually use between plastics and simulation. And the last one they showed was the design belt, and that was the one I talked about. A couple of cool things they talked about in here was the environment themes. So what this was basically every single place you're in parts, assemblies, drawings, you can have a new layout for the command manager and toolbars. So instead of having to set it the way you want it for SolidWorks in general, you can say, well, when I'm doing parts, I want to have this environment theme. And when I have, you know, this one, I have a different theme. And it really allows you to kind of customize the interface based on what you're in. They also talked about a history folder, which basically kind of is playing a little bit on the favorites, but looks a little bit more automated. So the last five features or so that you've touched will automatically show up. They talked about flexible assemblies context menu, so you can now just basically toggle that right in the right-click menu. And they also streamlined the copy or the save as copy. So in 2014, apparently when you run save as copy, you always remember it used to be a little checkbox. You'd give it a name, and then that part, that copy would essentially not be active. You'd have to close your current copy and then open up the copy. Now it looks like it's very similar to the Pack and Go interface, but you can also specify whether it gets loaded. So when you do a file save as copy, you can actually have it loaded and unload the other copy. So it's kind of a nice, I think more of a workflow streamlining tool. And they also talked about eDrawings have augmented reality. Now, Ricky Jordan talked about this actually being debuted last year. It was previewed at SolidWorks 2013 press event, which I wasn't at, but that was interesting. Essentially, if you've ever used the 3DVIA mobile app where you can take a picture and put a product around that person, that's exactly what this does. So you can have a product in eDrawings, you can snap a picture, and then be able to utilize that picture to augment that product onto that person. And the last couple of things they did talk about was sheet metal corner gussets, lofted bend transition, so essentially giving you a lot more control when you do lofted bends in sheet metal. They also had smart mate delay. So if you've ever dragged a part in and it just snaps into the place, there's now a slight delay that makes it a lot easier when you're dragging stuff maybe across a model. It's not snapping to everything that you go over. They also talked about feature-driven component patterns. So again, you can reuse some functionality as well there. And then rotating exploded views. This is huge. This allows you to do an exploded view with rotations. This really gives you more of that kind of 3D via composer feel, where you're going to have these nice rotations that can actually step in place. So if you want to have something explode, you can have, let's say, the cover actually rotates first, then explodes. And that's a huge piece, because before it was basically very linear. And then you also have a quick mate context menu. And this looks interesting. Ricky actually commented on this. It's basically, depending on your selections, how it actually is going to show up, but it's pretty nice little feature that shows you what's going to happen before you drop it down. It looks like it's kind of an expansion on that kind of the quick mating functionality. So overall, I think they showed a lot of features. Again, it looks like a lot of features that is either kind of focusing on reusing or making it quick to jump into another design iteration. So the general sessions, like I said, were overall very good. I think the only thing that for me was a little bit disappointing was you didn't have those big headliner, speakers. And I like those because a lot of times they'll bring someone in that's just really awesome and inspiring and getting people fired up. So one of the things I like about SolidWorks World being at the beginning of the year is that you go there and you get all kind of charged up. And a lot of times it's not just about SolidWorks. It's about getting people charged up about being engineers and doing what they do best. So I was a little bit disappointed that there weren't more headliners, but overall, I think there was a lot of good stuff that was announced. I think the overall feeling was that it was, decent, but I have to say in the 12 years I've come to SolidWorks World, this was probably my least favorite, only because I'm not a huge fan of being in Orlando. It's my fourth time at Orlando, and like I said, there wasn't the big headliners, but, that's not saying much when we talk about, SolidWorks World in general, because there is a lot of stuff happening. It was a great show. It just wasn't as great as previous years, but overall, I'm looking forward to seeing some of these new tools come to market. Now, I know this show is pretty long, and it always ends up being that way. There's so much stuff, and to try and cram it into one show is hard, but I wanted to give you just kind of a single point to listen. The one thing I did want to mention before we kind of break for today is just the... I did take about four or five notes in some of the sessions I went to. Some of them were really hard to take notes in. They ended up being more kind of presentation things of it was a lot harder because they were kind of pitching a scenario instead of really sharing tips. So I tried to take notes on the ones that had more tip-related information. I shared all of them as Google Docs or public docs that you can go on my Google Plus page. They don't look like they're actually in the SolidWorks Herd site yet. So what you can do is just go to the bottom of SolidWorks Herd. You should see a link for Google Plus at the very bottom. And you should see the show notes there, and you can open them up. I have screenshots in there and any notes that I took. As far as the other content, like I said, you can go to the live blog and replay those. Definitely check out solidsmack.com and rickyjordan.com and jeffmirasola.com. All of those guys were there. They were posting often, and a lot of them had some good summaries of the different sessions and what was announced. If you want to get more information about SolidWorks World, again, you can go to solidworks.com/SWW. That should take you to the page. They will have a proceedings site that will come up usually about a month after SolidWorks World is over. And the proceedings site has all of the sessions and their PowerPoints and what they covered. So if you want to try and get some tidbits out of that, you know, keep an eye out. They usually announce it on the SolidWorks blog, and they also announce it in the forums. And that's the best way to get basically every single slide that was presented at SolidWorks World. So I hope to see you guys there next year. It was another successful SolidWorks World, a lot of stuff, and we'll be keeping our eye out for the mechanical conceptual tool. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, you can hit at the comments section or email me at lou@solidworksherd.com. Don't forget to visit the Herd at herd.solidworksherd.com and register for an account. You can follow me there or on Google+, Twitter, or Facebook by searching for SolidWorks Herd. This episode of SolidWorks Herd was sponsored by Digital Dimensions, Forward Engineering Solutions, online at www.didcad.com. Music was provided by 21 Against by means of Music Alley at musicalley.com.